My guest at this time is Bishop Council Ned II. He is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Missionary Church. He's also a founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. We want to get his thoughts today on the legacy, of course, of Dr. Martin Luther King, who would be 85 years old, and also what he thinks Dr. King would have to say about some of the contemporary issues. And, sir, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You were born in 1968, just a few months after Dr. King, unfortunately, was assassinated, but obviously in that time, you've come to have a great and deep appreciation for him, as millions of Americans do. What do you believe made Dr. King a leader people instinctively followed?
Well, for one, he was focused on what he was doing. He was focused on right and wrong, but he was focused on what he was doing, and his approach was so radically different than what everybody else in the black community was talking about at that time. And again, it was the message of nonviolence. You know, again, he's a Christian pastor, a follower of Jesus Christ, and he believed in turning the other cheek, and he believed that you could, you know, meet this resistance by not resisting at all. And it had a profound impact on American society.
And so then people who didn't necessarily have segregation being pushed in their face saw his leadership style and rallied to the cause?
I think precisely that's it. Because, again, you know, they're being met with violence. There's water hoses and dogs and all sorts of beatings and lynchings and everything. And he's saying, you know, let's just keep marching for what we want to march for, and we're going to do it in a nonviolent manner. And it got the world's attention. It got America's attention, and it got the world's attention. And he was able to implement the changes that he wanted to implement.
How do you think he would look at today in terms of where America stands with racial equality?
I think he would say that, you know, that a major victory had been accomplished. You know, if you think about it, you know, the world that he lived in, the world that he knew was a very segregated America, and at the end of his life there were, you know, riots in the streets. Again, you know, they were turning water hoses and dogs on children in parts of this country, and because of the advent of television, people were able to see it in the country and were rightly appalled by what they saw. So, you know, again, it's a very different world than the one he lived in. There's equality in the eyes of the law. Segregation is, I guess, you know, legally banished from the land. And, you know, black Americans have opportunities that have never been seen at any other point in U.S. history.
We know that Dr. King obviously got political at times, whether it was in Montgomery with the bus boycott. He certainly went to jail a number of times. He was obviously involved with the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which will celebrate 50 years this year, as well as other episodes in his career. If he had lived to today, how political do you think he would have been on a regular basis, and where on the political spectrum do you think he'd be today?
Well, I mean, he comes from the same era as my father. And so, you know, I think he'd probably be a fairly conservative individual. I think he would still be involved in pastoral ministry, in all honesty, or probably retired from it by this point, or at least I hope so, had he lived. Because, again, he was first and foremost a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't think he was necessarily interested in sort of the political pandering that you see people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton do. He was on a mission, and, you know, the mission was to march for civil rights, but again, he never gave up his calling as a minister of the gospel, and his ministry was evident in his approach that he took to trying to achieve civil rights for all Americans.
So when we see folks like who were with him at the time, Jesse Jackson, Joseph Lowery, and now Congressman John Lewis and so forth, a lot of them went left, and you're suggesting that he probably would not have done that. Do you think that those who did go left would have acted differently or thought differently had he lived? Why do you think so many of those leaders from that era ended up being more liberal?
I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, you know, it's funny. So you mentioned a couple of names. I'd put John Lewis in a slightly different category because, I mean, he's a committed individual to what he's doing. You know, I don't know how much political pandering he necessarily does, but in my opinion, he's given a certain amount of grace because of what he physically endured you know, on the same marches with Dr. King. But Jesse Jackson, you know, I'd put him in a different category than John Lewis. You know, Jesse Jackson has always been a political figure. He's always sort of sought out the media, and whatever gets him to that goal, seemingly, he's willing to do. Whether it's smearing blood on himself, whatever it is. I don't know. Different people take different approaches, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily clump everybody in that same category. But there's certainly people who are just trying to exploit rather than actually show true leadership.
Let's talk about a couple of issues that are really in the news right now that certainly some activists on these issues harken back to Dr. King. One is the approach of the Obama administration right now talking about income inequality. It goes back to, a lot of people say, the social justice movement. Where do you think Dr. King would come down on that type of debate?
Well, see, I think that's one of the real tragedies. So here we are in America. We've got the first black president, and everybody was talking about sort of the end of racism, et cetera, et cetera. And essentially what Obama has done is essentially put on the Jesse Jackson cloak, and he's just pandering on issues of race. You know, he's not showing true leadership. You know, he's implemented or tried to implement a number of different failed policies, and when it didn't work out, he pulls the race card. And I just think that's inappropriate, and it's just tacky.
Another issue that has certainly come up, and this argument has come back probably over the last decade or so, and that's the gay rights agenda and gay marriage and that sort of thing. A lot of those activists say that this is the natural extension of the civil rights movement. I know a lot of civil rights activists from that era strongly disagree with that. Where do you come down on that, and what do you think Dr. King would think about that?
Well, yeah, I'll start by saying gay is not the new black. There are lots of people who lived and died and suffered merely because of race. Any individual who happens to be homosexual, they're already covered under the law because of their color, because of their sexuality, because of various other things. It's not a separate classification. And I'm personally, I'm offended by it. And I'm offended by the politicians who caved on the issue, and I'm offended by pastors who sold out on the issue and decided, you know what, I don't really care what the Bible says. You know, the black president wants me to support this, so I'm going to support this. It's absurd.
Last question. As I mentioned to our listeners in the introduction, you're a man of the cloth, a presiding bishop of the Episcopal Missionary Church. Obviously, you've been inspired by the way Dr. King led his churches when he was a minister. How much does his example influence you on a day-to-day basis in your job?
Honestly, I don't think about it that often. And, you know, to be honest, you know, I sort of forgot that the holiday was coming up. But, you know, I think there's a lot that everybody could learn from him, a lot that everyone could learn from his example. And again, you know, what he relied on was, you know, scripture and common sense and trying to lead a godly life and lead people in a godly fashion. And I think that's something for everybody to emulate.
Bishop, we thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate your insights.
God bless you and your listeners. Thank you.
God bless you as well, sir. Bishop Council Ned II is the presiding bishop at the Episcopal Missionary Church. He's also a founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.